Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, it's another rainy afternoon, Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. Drive carefully out there. And, you know, once again, I'm going to remind you, but this message never seems to penetrate the thick skulls of the boneheads who just don't understand. Do not put on your hazard lights if you are traveling with the speed of traffic. It is illegal. Don't get mad at me. I didn't pass the law. I'm not a legislator. But it makes sense because when you see flashing lights, it's supposed to indicate that a vehicle is not traveling with the speed of traffic or is totally stalled. It is very possible that you see traffic lights ahead of you and you slam on the brakes. And especially when the surface is wet, that could cause a chain reaction of accidents. So, look, we're all in the same situation. I mean, if you're driving there in the rain, it's no heavier for you than it is for me or anybody else in the rain. So don't turn on your hazard lights when you're in the rain. If you need to pull over, then pull over and then put your hazard lights on. If the traffic is traveling, say, in the rain at 40 miles an hour, and you have some kind of a problem with your vehicle and you're driving at 15 miles per hour, well, yes, put on your hazard lights, because that's an indication that you're not traveling with the flow of traffic. So again, I don't understand why it's so hard to penetrate the brains of some people, but it really is. And I know many of you are just like me, and you're in heavy rain and you see people put on their flashers, their hazard lights in the heavy rain. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you more special than me? Just pay attention out there and keep the rules of the road in mind. I guess that's just one of the things that always bothers me. And, you know, it's not just people driving like cars that are not worth much. I mean, there are people in really nice luxury vehicles doing the same thing. So basically the rule is if the weather's so bad that you feel like you need to turn on your hazard lights, well, then just pull over and let it pass. All right. We have a lot to get to this afternoon, and we'll keep you updated on the rain. And any warnings or advisories that are out there, we'll bring you up to date on all of that. And also, we'll try to remind you of some of the flooded areas. But you know when it floods. There are places where, I mean, if a radiator overflows, it floods. It doesn't take much for some areas to flood. So just be cognizant of those areas as you travel around, because we don't want any of our listeners to die. You know, if you're listening to the show, we don't want you to die. We want you to stay alive and be one of our listeners. We really don't care about the listeners of the other radio stations. They can die. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not serious. We want everybody to live and everybody to be happy. All right. Senator John Kennedy is going up against Donald Trump. And this is a continuing with the theme of tariffs. And Senator Kennedy has been a longtime butt smoocher of Donald Trump. And now he's standing up to Donald Trump. And this is something that is happening more and more often, it seems. I think it's a positive thing. I think it's positive when members of one party, doesn't matter which party, but when members of one party are willing to stand up to members of their own party, even leaders in their party, and say, I think you're wrong on this, as opposed to everybody acting like the leader of the party is the king, is royalty, and you must submit to whatever he says or you're going to be banished from society. You know, so I think it's a positive thing. And one of the problems I think we've had in this country is that there are far too many Republicans and Democrats who are afraid to stand up to their own. And we need more standing up to their own to really have a successful a country. So we'll take a look at all of that. I don't know where the stock market is right now. Haven't been paying attention to that this morning. But yesterday it was just plummeting down about 1,000 points. And I know a lot of you voted for Donald Trump and you love everything that he represents, but you can't love your 401k and you can't be happy with the prices right now because I don't think very much has been done about inflation. But as I said before the election, during the campaign, Donald Trump can make the promise that he's going to end inflation, but he can't because presidents don't have that kind of power. So I was defending Donald Trump then, I'll defend him now. Don't look to him to solve inflation because he doesn't have the power to do that. No president really does. Although I have to say that I'm really impressed with oil prices right now. I have a turbo engine in my car, so I use the premium, Supreme or Premium, whatever the upgrade is, whatever the most expensive fuel is, I use that in my car. I don't know much about cars, but I was told to use this. And so yesterday I pulled in, and for some reason my debit card wasn't working in the pump. And this is on Veterans Highway. It was $3.51 a gallon. Well, I decided, well, I'm just going to pull out of here. I'm going to go where I usually go. And the other day, the price was a lot lower than that. So I went across the street on Veterans Highway to a place where I often get gas. And the price was $3.17 a gallon. So, man, I'm loving that. But I'm not giving Trump credit for that because I don't blame presidents when the price of oil is up, and I don't blame them when the price of oil is up, and I don't give them credit when the price of oil is down. So anyway, I don't know. Maybe you have noticed that gas prices are, in my opinion, kind of reasonable right now. We'll talk a little bit today about Shannon Sharpe, and you know I've always liked this guy, but I hate when there are accusations. And there are accusations that he raped a woman, and this is in a lawsuit, and he demanded complete control of her, and he raped her from the other direction. I mean, I know I could probably say it on the air, but there's no need for that. I can just say he raped her from the other direction, and you understand what I'm talking about. He says it's not true, and he's outraged over this. This is taking place in Nevada State Court. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And, you know, it's, again, he's innocent until proven guilty. But, you know, we tend to give credit to those who make these claims. So we'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. I think it's interesting that today is Earth Day. Earth Day used to be a really big deal. Earth Day is turning 55 years old. Now, many years ago, in the very beginning of my career, when I was on the Rock of New Orleans, we celebrated Earth Day. I mean, we had a huge celebration for Earth Day. We had like Earth Day at City Park, and we had bands, and there were all kinds of things going on. It was a festival environment. It was an Earth Day festival. And the Rock of New Orleans would celebrate that. And it was a big deal. It was a big deal to who? The baby boomer generation. A generation that was looking ahead and thinking, you know, we're trashing this planet. We need to do more to take care of our planet. And we're not doing enough. That's what gave birth to Earth Day. So now, 55 years later, that young generation that collectively supported Earth Day is now the establishment. And many of them think that anything involving protecting the Earth or climate change, many baby boomers think that's totally bogus. They haven't done any research. They're just told that it's bogus. You know, I remember back in the 70s, I remember reading a book called The Cooling. And I've talked about this on the show before. There was a fear in the 70s that pollution was going to be so bad in the future, like now, that pollution would cover the earth and it would shroud the sun from getting through. Vegetation was expected to die in just massive numbers. And the polar caps were not going to shrink, they were going to expand. The polar caps were going to get bigger. And The Cooling was a book that was a prominent theory back in the 70s about how the Earth was going to basically freeze over. Just the opposite of what's going on today. So I have to tell you that while I respect the conversation about climate change, I do think that it is possible that some people are exaggerating it too much. I do think there's a possibility that this is in part a cyclical change that the planet is going through. A planet that is 4.5 billion years old. We go through cycles. We went through the ice age, and now we're going through this time when the temperatures are rising. Now, there are things that humans can do to make the planet safer and better and cleaner, and we should do those things. What's discouraging to me is that if we do it in America and they don't do anything about it in China or other countries where manufacturing is huge, then, you know, we can't do it alone. Everybody has to get on board and do it. But we'll talk a little bit about Earth Day. And I know some of you who have been listening for many years remember those days at City Park celebrating Earth Day. Well, Earth Day is 55 years old today. All right, Ian is off today, so Coleman is our studio producer. Good afternoon, sir.
How are we doing, Scoop?
I am good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was wondering, I noticed that whenever the topic comes up about climate change, we as humans, we always think climate change for the worst. Like, we think about stormy weathers and bad weather. I wonder if there was ever a sunny day that was a result of climate change. Like, the climate is changing. That's why it feels so great outside.
I don't know. It's an interesting thought because a lot of people don't like it cold. A lot of people like it warmer. So they might be cheering on climate change. The problem is, you know, you see the videos. I mean, there's actual video of the polar caps melting. And while that is, you know, you always have seen the some of the cliffs of the icebergs fall into the ocean. That's not a new thing, but apparently it's happening at a much bigger rate. But, you know, again, I find it interesting how the baby boomer generation collectively as a generation was very much in support of protecting the environment. And now that they're older, they don't really seem to care. And many of them think that it's totally bogus. All right, so President Trump is talking about a $5,000 baby bonus for moms. This is in an attempt to reverse the declining birth rate. There's a declining birth rate in America among Americans. Now, in some ways, this is kind of dog whistle politics. Because what people like J.D. Vance are saying, and look, I counted yesterday. I saw J.D. Vance on TV. He was at the White House Easter egg roll yesterday. And I counted 5 kids. Are all those his kids? I mean, look, if you can take care of kids, there's nothing wrong with having 5 kids. But the vice president, J.D. Vance, has been talking a lot about having children and that Americans need to have more children. And I think this is dog whistle politics for basically saying, look, other races are going to turn us into a minority if we don't start having more children. I think that is definitely something that is being said, but it's not being said so blatantly. You know, I don't worry about that. I'm not concerned about that. If you can have children and take care of them, have children. If you can't or if you choose not to have kids, then don't have kids. But if the president is offering a $5,000 baby bonus for every mom after delivery, you know, that when you talk about what it takes to raise a child, that $5,000 is not going to go a long way. Would you be willing to have a child for $5,000? getting a $5,000 bonus from the government. Now, think how cool it is if you're planning on having kids anyway, and you get a $5,000 bonus. I mean, that's pretty cool. So we'll talk about this push by the White House for a new baby boom. Should we be having more children? Yes or no? And why or why not? If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. The Pelicans also have a new general manager. We'll talk to Charlie Long from WWL Sports about that coming up next. And then I want to get back to this topic about the baby bonus boom. I mean, basically, the government, the White House, is bribing people to have kids to change the declining birth rate. Do you think we really need to do this? Are you concerned? The other thing that's interesting about the baby boomer generation is we grew up at a time when there was a real fear of overpopulation on the planet. And I can talk a little bit about this after we talk to Charlie Long. But I had a poster in my bedroom that explained what overpopulation might look like one day. And this is what the baby boomer generation thought when they were young. They were worried about overpopulation. And so still as a baby boomer today, that's something I still think about. Do you? I'm Scoot. Hang on. Drive carefully if you're in the rain, and we'll be back on WWL. So, President Trump's White House is promoting the idea...
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Of having a new baby boom. And they're talking about one plan that would give you a bonus of $5,000 after you deliver a baby. There's another plan that would offer 30% of all Fulbright scholarships would be given to applicants who are married and have children. The number of live births in the United States went from 1,000, this is per 1,000 women. It decreased from 13.5 in 2029 to 11.4 in 2019. And these are kind of recent statistics. It takes the government forever to get new stats out. But how do you feel about this plan to promote births? I mean, do we need to promote births? And do you think that in some way this is like dog whistle politics for basically saying white America, other segments of the population are outbirthing you, even though the birth rates are down in other segments as well. But we need to replenish our supply. Unfortunately, I think that may be a hidden message in this. If you have a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Charlie Long is with the WWL sports team. He joins us on WWL. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going?
Good. All right. So the Pelicans have a new general manager. Tell us what we can expect.
Yeah, new executive president of basketball operations, and it's Joe Dumars. And so Joe's been in the game as an executive for quite some time. He was with Detroit from 2000 through 2014, won executive of the year all the way back in 2003 and built a Detroit championship team in 2004. And this was after, Scoot, a Hall of Fame playing career. But he makes it as an executive in Detroit for basically 14 years. He steps down in 2014 and he served a couple different roles with the Sacramento Kings, but never like the lead executive of an NBA franchise. He goes and works with the NBA league office from 2022 through 2025, kind of as a disciplinarian there. And now he's back as the lead executive of an NBA franchise, this time with the Pelicans, starting in 2025.
You know, there was a lot of excitement when the Pelicans brought in David Griffin, and he just, I guess he failed to do the job. I mean, I think there are questions about coaching. There were questions about, you know, players and a lot of different things. So David Griffin is gone, and so this new president executive of basketball operations comes in. What do you think he's going to do with Willie Green?
So he had his introductory press conference today, as you know, and Willie Green was at the press conference. So I think that's a pretty good sign that Willie Green is likely going to be back for the 2025-26 season. However, you know, based off of what happened this past season, I think that Willie Green enters next year on a pretty hot seat, but I think they're going to keep the head coach in place.
Okay, it'll be interesting to see if that does happen. And, you know, when you're inside those operations, you know more than, say, fans know from the outside about, you know, whether the coach is really at fault or whether it's the players or the coach or a combination of the two. Is there talk about what might be done with some of the key players?
So the Zion Williamson stuff was a lot of buzz because as soon as, you know, Joe Dumars got the job, there was reports that he would be mandated to make a trade for Zion Williamson. He said at his presser today, which is still going on, basically that if that was a mandate from the ownership, he hadn't heard it. So he basically called it fake and that they're not going to be mandating him to trade Zion Williamson, the star player of this team. So we'll see what happens with that. I think that's one of the key kind of, I guess, things with Joe Dumars coming in as the lead executive now is what he does with Zion and how they kind of build a relationship, because it was always rocky with David Griffin. As soon as Griff came in 2019 and when the Pelicans won the lottery in 2019 and drafted Zion number one overall, they were kind of attached at the hip a little bit, Scoot. And so all the issues that Zion's dealt with in the first 6 years of his tenure in New Orleans, whether that be injury related or the drama off the court and stuff like that, I mean, it was probably one of the primary reasons that Griff didn't last in New Orleans. So it's going to be definitely fascinating to see what Joe Dumars decides to do with Zion and if he can kind of reach him at a different level than Griff was able to.
Well, it's interesting that he said he hadn't heard about anything. It doesn't mean he's not going to do something.
Not necessarily.
They're very careful. They're very careful about how they word things. I don't want to start any rumors here, but I just want to be honest about the conversation. You know, we've got such a great basketball player in Zion Williamson, but he's not paying off for us. I mean, we're not even in the playoffs, so he's not paying off for us overall as an entity with a team. And one thing that concerns me, and you may know more about this than I do, Zion Williamson is such a unique athlete. He is so big, but he's also very agile and fast. And the combination of those two things, I think, like his agility combined with his size and weight, might make him injury prone throughout his career.
He's a freight train, Scoot, but it's also opened him up, as you mentioned, to injuries, significant hamstring issues that he's dealt with in recent years. This is the stat that it keeps coming up to me, and Bobby Marks from ESPN put this out. Zion's played in the NBA for 6 seasons. He's only broken the 30-game. There's an 82-game season in the NBA for the regular season. He's only broken 30 games played in a season 4 times.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, he's just not there. I mean, no. You can be the greatest player in the league, but if you're sitting on the bench, you're no good.
Right, so that's kind of the big question mark is what Dumars is going to do with him. I imagine, based off of reports and what he said at today's presser, that he's going to try and talk to Zion, reach out to him, you know, introduce himself, and maybe we'll figure out some ways to keep him on the floor, because that's obviously been the biggest issue for Zion in his first 6 years. But another thing, Scoot, is that we're about 20 days out from the draft lottery, which is going to be just a gigantic day for this Pelicans franchise, because the Pelicans entered the lottery with the 4th best odds to win it, and it's the Cooper Flag year where this super talented kid from Maine lit it up in his freshman season at Duke. He's going to be the number one overall pick. We talked with Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel recently. He called him a gold chip prospect, one of these top guys. So if the Pelicans somehow win the lottery again, this is a good year to do it, Scoot. And they position themselves with the 4th worst record in the NBA to have a 12.5% chance to win this year's lottery and draft Cooper Flag, which would obviously change a ton about this franchise maybe even the future of Zion here, too.
You know, we've gotten some key players. We had Anthony Davis, and now we've got Zion. But they don't always stay. They don't always contribute. And, you know, you wonder if maybe they are infected with this idea that New Orleans is an inferior market in the NBA.
Yeah, and the NBA is a little bit different than some other leagues like the NFL and stuff like that. It's just because there's fewer players, they all, you know, want to play in the big markets and everything. But Cooper Flagg's an intriguing one for sure. At the same time, if the Pelicans don't win this year's lottery, there's still a good chance that they can pick up a top player in a really good draft class. Last year's draft, Scoot, was not very good. So it was phenomenal that the Pelicans scouting department was able to find someone like Yves Missi with a 21st overall pick. this year's draft is a lot better, and the Pelicans are in a good position to potentially get a top four-ish pick. So even if they don't get Cooper Fly, they still should be able to get a really strong contributor right off the bat.
Okay. Are you optimistic?
About Joe Dumars or about the Pelicans'
Joe Dumars and also about the Pelicans this upcoming season?
My biggest thing with Joe Dumars is the thing that concerns me about him. It was his draft history with Detroit. And, I mean, you can look it up. The draft picks during his time as a lead executive with the Pistons is not very illustrious, to say the least. But at the same time, the Pelicans have a really good draft guy in their GM with Bryson Graham, a very young guy, very, you know, young in the business, so to speak. And I think that if Dumars lets Graham do his job, so to speak, with the scouting process and finding players in the draft, I think it could work. Because the whole thing that you keep hearing with Dumars is authority and discipline and stuff like that. That, you know, he was the quote-unquote disciplinarian of the league offices. He was the one that would hand down punishments and stuff like that when he was working there for basically 3 years. And if he comes in and does something similar where he's kind of the lead figurehead, people have kind of questioned how much of a role he's going to have. I think that Mike put it best the other day when we were talking about the hire, that he's not coming here to watch. He's going to be serving his lead executive role to the fullest of its capabilities. At the same time, you know, I would like to see Bryson Graham still have a lot of control over the draft based off of what you know about Joe Dumars' history in the draft when he was the executive in Detroit.
All right, Charlie Long from Sports Talk in the Afternoon, part of the WWL Sports Team. Thanks for some really, really great information. You know, we'll be talking to you, you know, throughout the lead up to the new season. So, I love having an NBA team here. I love the Pelicans. I just wish that they were a little more dedicated overall as an entity to be winners. And I haven't seen that yet. Let's hope we see it in this season. But, Charlie, thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thanks, Scoot.
All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Okanor Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. So the White House is trying to come up with ways to promote a new baby boom, encouraging people to get pregnant and have children. It would be a new baby boom. Are you in? Is this a good idea for the White House to promote this? The Okanor Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And also today is the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. And I remember as a young DJ when this first started, and I'm working on the Rock of New Orleans, and we would have the Earth Day celebration. Most of the time it was at City Park. I think it may have been a few other places, but it was bands and a festival atmosphere, and it was celebrating the Earth. But what I find interesting is the baby boomer generation from then has changed. And collectively as a generation, I don't see them that interested in the Earth or the planet like they once were. And there are a few songs that speak to the idea that maybe we need to do a better job of taking care of the planet. We're talking about having kids, and the White House is launching a promotion to convince Americans to have more kids. If you want to join us, the Okanor Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Metairie. James, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Scoot, and thank you, and welcome back.
Sure, thanks.
Scoot, if we're going to talk about people having more babies, we've got to talk about Rocket Man, Mr. Dodo, Elon Musk. Musk has been talking about for a long time having more kids. An article from the Wall Street Journal a few days ago, he has fathered 14 children with four women. Now he's talking about having a legion of children. That's a play on the Roman military unit, a legion. He says he wants to reach legion level before the apocalypse, and we will have to use surrogates to do it. And Musk is now, to do this, he is... It's also been reported that he's using his website, X, his social media platform, to try and find more women to have his babies. So he, the Rocket Man, is prolific and prolificating, whatever it's called.
Well, I got another word for it that I can't say on the air.
Exactly, another one. So that's, you know, our Doge leader wants to have his babies all over our planet. That's his plan.
Well, you know, I think there are people who are very narcissistic, and they're so conceited they believe that the best thing that the world can have is more of them. Let's go to Vance. Vance, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Thanks for hanging on.
Oh yes, yeah, so Scott, Scoot. I keep wanting to call you Scott. Excuse me,
Scoot. Right.
I'm looking at, and as a fellow called a while ago, it was very unfair to you about the market.
I was listening one day. It was about 3 weeks ago. And you had said it was down 1,000 points. It was down to 873. And as you know, it's a dynamic situation.
Right.
I was an investment. I work at the DMV. I'm just a guy pushing paper, okay? And I don't make a lot of money, but I'm invested in the market's up almost 1,000 points today, school. Why are you giving us information that this time you're wrong? You said it was down 1,000 points. The other day you unfairly criticized, but I'm looking at it right here. My Dow Jones thing, I got $3.6 million in there. Well, no, I lost about it. No, you're right. I did lose a little bit, but it's coming back, and today it's up. So I don't know where you're getting your sources, but I find you to be a very credible man and attention to detail, even when your bumper music is so cool. And by the way, the DMV supports what you said about the blinkers. We get people doing that stuff, and you're absolutely right. But you're wrong about the stock market, and I'm glad. Have you looked at it later? Because you're giving misinformation, dude.
Right. Vance,
think about being a little more responsible about our president.
Yeah.
I think we're going to disagree, but can I say this one thing? The lady, Caroline Leavitt.
Vance.
She seems like Tokyo Rose because she doesn't say anything wrong that Trump does. So I agree with you from that standpoint. This guy's not the king. He's just the president.
Yeah. My comment earlier was yesterday the stock market lost nearly 1,000 points. That's not my opinion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Opinion. I thought you said
that. You're criticizing me, and you just are not listening to what I'm actually saying.
You're right. I'm wrong.
Okay. All right, Vance. Good luck with the stock market. This often happens. You know, people hear what they want to hear or hear what they think they hear, but they don't actually hear it. And he's referring to a caller earlier, and this was a couple of weeks ago. And it was actually funny because at the time, I was on the air, and I look at the stock market. I'm saying the stock market is down. I'm just going to use this as an example. The stock market is down 1,000 points. And a guy calls, and like 20 minutes after that, he calls up to criticize me for giving the wrong stock market points. Because he's looking at it now, and it's down 800 points. And he's criticizing me for giving the wrong information. When I said it, it was down about 1,000 points. And then he calls up a little bit later. Well, no, it's not down 1,000 points. Man, you're giving out misinformation. You know, it just goes to show you that, people don't always actually listen to the show. All right. If you're on hold, stay with us. Also, we've got to get to some of your text messages. And we will do this. I promise we'll do this right after the news at the top of the hour. So if you have sent out a text message, cool, we'll get to it. Listen, we want to congratulate a few people. Bruce Wyatt of Kenner. Jason McGuinn of Metairie, Henry Cabaceres of Covington, Kristen Jones of Barrero, and Chris Miller, not of our radio station, but of Metairie. They're all going to Jazz Fest just for listening to WWL, and you can too. I've got a pair of tickets that we're going to give away to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. Pearl Jam, Luke Combs, Lenny Kravitz, Cage the Elephant, Santana, Patti LaBelle, and many, many more. All you have to do is listen at 9, noon, 3, and 6. And listen for the Jazz Fest code word of the day. You take that code word to our website, wwl.com/contest with an S, and register to win. You need the code word that hour. I'm going to give out the Jazz Fest code word in the 3 o'clock hour today. And then I'm going to tell you, go right to our website, wwl.com/contest with an S, to register to win. And this is for the second weekend of Jazz Fest. And this is from Miller Time. It is Miller Lite is the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. All right, we're going to come back with more of your comments. You know, for all the criticism Madonna got for her music, she never got credit for this anti-abortion song. I'm talking about having kids. Listen to the lyrics of this song. It's anti-abortion. Yeah, I mean, Dad, get out of my life. I'm keeping my baby. And I just think it's interesting that Madonna never really got credit for an anti-abortion song, Papa, Don't Preach. We're talking about the White House's plan to encourage more Americans to have babies to counter the declining birth rate in America. I'm Scoot on the air. Thank you for being with us. And we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, one of the kings of yacht rock, Paul Davis, a singer-songwriter, passed away from a heart attack on this day in 2008. He had many, many hits, Cool Nights, 65 Love Affair, and this song, I Go Crazy. Yeah, this is that yacht rock from the 70s. I don't know what the official definition, but it's kind of like, soft chicken rock from the 70s. And Another song I remember playing when it was first released as a hit. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. The Trump administration wants to convince more Americans to have babies, and they're offering possibly a $5,000 baby bonus if you give birth to a child. Another plan would educate women. It would be a government-funded program to educate women about their menstrual cycle so they know exactly when they're ovulating and would be able to conceive without, you know, doing it every day. You know what I mean? So anyway, it's kind of interesting, too. So look, if we're supposed to bring more children into the world, I guess we know what we have to do, right? All right, I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, happy birthday today to Peter Frampton. Peter Frampton, 75 years old. Still performing, still doing very well. And in 1976, Frampton Comes Alive was the album that put him on the map. A double album recorded live. But here's what I learned at the time. And again, I was on the air doing music radio when this was first released. And it was like a huge deal because Peter Frampton was not much before this album. I had learned from a record promoter that during the production of the album, they enhanced with artificial crowd sounds. They enhanced the crowd screaming for Peter Frampton, making it seem as if even more people loved him. As the crowd was just going crazy, not all of that was real, but allegedly some of it was artificial noise put in there to make him seem very successful. But that album just really sent him to the top. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm glad you're with us. It's cloudy or rainy, depending on where you are. Tuesday afternoon, we still have a lot to get to, but let me get to some of these people who have been on hold. Let's go to David. David, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, this is not what I called about, but your last caller, I wanted to say you kind of disingenuous, stomach the sack mark. Well, he's more disingenuous than you. You heard how quick he said, well, mine went down, and then, oh, it went up, you know.
well, I know.
You know, he's comparing apples and oranges. Everybody is not invested in the same stock. Somebody might be in low risk, and theirs isn't going down high. So that's really disingenuous. And, you know, you can tell he's a Trump cult zealous. And, you know, the sun wouldn't come up. And if Trump said it would, they would. So, but moving on to more important things, you know, here's another one of these rocket scientists, Trump things about having babies. I'm a geographer which covers climatology and demographics. You heard what they said? They said birth rate decline. Guess what? That's true. But the population of the United States hasn't declined. It's the only industrial country, meaning advanced countries, Europe, so forth, that population is not declining. And guess what, Trump? It's because we of immigration, the people that come here to farm and stuff. So, and the birth rates are only declining between the white population. So you're right, Scoot. That's the dog whistle for that.
Yeah,
it is. And then another thing for the rocket scientist genius. I don't know about you, Scoot, but you raised a kid. What you think it costs to raise a kid over a lifetime? $500,000?
Yeah,
people that have two babies are going to have another kid for $5,000. Guess what, Trump? The people, the teenagers that are having babies And the minority groups you don't want are the ones that are going to take up the 5,000. So that's another one of his idiotic ideas.
The idea of $5,000 convincing you to have a child. The problem is that people that think that's an attractive deal are not going to spend the money on the child.
I don't know about you, Coop, but a Catholic school in New Orleans is about $25,000 a year. So multiply that over 18 years, and you're going to take $5,000 to raise a kid. What person in their right mind would do that?
Yeah, this pushing for a new baby boom is kind of interesting, and I don't think it's going to work because people have made up their minds about what they want to do with their kids. And the other thing, David, is that, you know, the world is different today than it was when the first baby boom was created. And you know, my mother stayed home. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. But mothers can't do that today, so it's a whole different dynamic.
That's right, and that's another thing. So let's have more babies and just dump them in the nursery. But that said, Scoot, the population, there was a saying at the turn of the century and even into the 20th century, kids were hands to farm, and now it's mouths to feed. You know, it was good when half the population lived on a farm in 1900 because they didn't, you know, the kids would just go help farm and they'd feed themselves. But now, like you said, The mother got, it cost a fortune to raise kids, and people don't farm, only 2% of the population. So you're right. But real quick, Scoot, to climate. You know, there are cycles, Scoot, but the cycles are millions of years cycles. The only cycles, of, you think about it, Scoot, in order for the climate to change, there has to be an event. So when Krakatoa, the, as far as they know, the biggest earthquake, I mean, a volcano in Indonesia, it put a cloud over the earth that it did have a climate effect. When the asteroid hit and killed all the dinosaurs, that initiated a climate effect, which could happen overnight. You're right. But it's clear they take core samples of the ice in Iceland, which is miles and miles thick. And it's clear since the industrial age started in 1890, which is just a blip on a screen, 100-something years, that the Earth has exponentially warmed. There's no doubt about the correlation between that. We accelerate it, all right? Yeah. And so, you know, it's indisputable. They got lapse films of all the glaciers in the world every year, how much they recede during the summertime. Every year those are received. But this has only happened in 150 years, Scoot. You even said the Earth's billions of years. Something initiated that, and that's all the carbon humans are pumping in.
I'm not a climate change denier by any means. I do think that there's a possibility that there's a cyclical effect here, but there's no doubt in my mind that humans have contributed to climate change. And, you know, it's a shame that a lot of people who are part of the baby boomer generation, who grew up as part of a generation that cared about, it was called the ecology. We care about the ecology. We care about the planet. Many of those people who cared, they don't care anymore because they've been brainwashed to believe that it's all about politics and that it's a farce. It's a hoax.
Well, when they get older, it's about making money. I ain't going to live much longer. I don't care about, you know, but they don't think about the kids and grandkids who are going to have to put up, ones that are going to,
Baby boomers are a very, very selfish generation. David, listen,
I'm not a selfish person, but I'm a baby boomer. But you're right. I agree with you on that. And, you know, because that was the first generation. It was kind of spoiled, let's face it. You know, the greatest generation prior to that, my parents, your parents, I assume, they didn't have it made like we do. You know, there wasn't labor laws. I mean, and it's probably the first generation had TV and were kind of spoiled. That's true.
Right. And we, you
anyway,
know, the only
that
thing
was
that,
my comments.
The only thing. All right, David, I appreciate the call. The only thing that we were really threatened with is the possibility of nuclear war, which was a damn big deal back then. But, you know, we didn't fight wars. Our generation, the boomers, were not a part of generations that fought wars that were about our freedom. And we took advantage of those freedoms. And if you're a boomer, I don't mean to insult you. I just mean to open your eyes collectively. And maybe it's not you or me, but collectively as a generation, baby boomers have been very selfish since their inception. And this is why a lot of Xers, millennials, and Zoomers don't like boomers. They don't respect them. They don't like them. They think that they're selfish and they don't really care about what they leave, what condition they leave this world in for them. And I think it's true, and it's sad. And this is why I often sometimes call myself a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation. I want to share with you, and I don't know how many of you remember this, but there was a poster. I had it in my bedroom, and we're talking about the Trump administration pushing for a new baby boom. The birth rates are down in America, and Donald Trump's administration is pushing for people to, Americans, to have more children. And, you know, you really shouldn't have kids unless you're prepared to take care of the kids. But there was a fear, and baby boomers had this fear instilled in them at a very early age, that there was a fear of overpopulation. And there were predictions that by 1984, there would not be enough food in the world to feed people. By 1984. By the year 2000, there were predictions that, you know, the Earth would be totally overpopulated. Well, the population rate did not continue at that particular rate. And there was a poster, and I think it was of New York, or a reasonable facsimile of New York, or it was Modern Times. And it was a cityscape, and it was a cityscape to the edge of the ocean. And there were people covering all of it. You know, you had some of the buildings and stuff, but on the streets and on the landscape leading up to the ocean, up to the water's edge, you saw nothing but people. And that was reflective of the overpopulation fear that baby boomers had instilled in them in the 70s. And so consequently, baby boomers did not grow up with this idea that we got to have a bunch of kids. And so now the Trump administration is trying to convince people to have children. But is it worth having a child for $5,000? Well, I mean, I would say no. I mean, nobody in their right mind would consider that to be, you know, the reason to have a child. Also, I think it's interesting that the government wants to fund programs to educate women on their menstrual cycles so they know when they're ovulating and when they're most likely to get pregnant, so you can, you know, you can target those guys to go there and you know, and make the attack on the egg. You know, you target them. You wait for the egg to be exposed, and then you target that, you know, that day. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, war in a way, I guess. But I figure that most women would know about their menstrual cycles and know when they're fertile, know when they are most likely to get pregnant. So if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Do we still have James? Who do we still have on? Do we have anybody on hold?
Yeah, Marcel, Roscoe.
Okay, let's go to Marcel. Marcel, thank you for hanging on and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Scoot. I think that this baby boom, whatever they're trying to do, I think is silly. However, it is absolutely the reason. The reason is absolutely that they don't. You got me?
Yeah.
It's absolutely because the dwindling population of white people in the United States, you guys are going to become a minority, and that's scary, I guess. And that's the whole reason for the abortion ban, you know, and all of the getting brown people out of the country. All of that is all part of the effort.
Well, I don't know for sure, but I have a suspicion that there is an ulterior motive behind this baby boom promotion, and that is really it's to convince white Americans to have more children, because at the current rate, there is a point in the future when white Americans are going to be the minority in this country, which is why I spend so much time on this show talking about equality. I don't care what group you're part of, because one day I might be part of a minority and I want to have the same respect that I would be giving minorities today. I want to have the same respect that I have as being in the majority when I'm in the minority.
Well, maybe if you guys would get in the minority, then there wouldn't be such an assault on civil rights and voting rights acts across the nation.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Marcel, I appreciate the call. I personally think that the administration's push for a baby boom is kind of dog whistle politics. And they're really talking to white Americans having more children to try to cut the declining birth rate.
Well, on that same vein, Scoot, we have an interesting text that says, why are we making this a racial thing? Is the government only paying baby bonuses for white women? Shouldn't it apply to everybody? So to say, I guess the texter is saying, you know, if it's a dog whistle to just white people to procreate, you know, it makes it seem like they're the only ones that's going to benefit from getting the $5,000. It should.
No, they would not. No, everybody would benefit. Everybody would benefit. But who seems to be the most reluctant to have babies right now? Well, from demographics, it looks like it's white America. And so a push to have children is, again, I think it's a dog whistle political move to encourage white Americans to have children. Now, you know, I mean, I can be wrong, and I don't like to bring race into it, but I also don't want to ignore if race is an issue. And I see this, you know, you kind of read between the lines and you hear some of the conversations. And when you hear some people who are white and in power, when you hear them talk about we need to do this, they're talking about white Americans. You know, we need to do this. We need to do that. And, you know, I think there is a fear because I don't know what the date is, but there is a date at the current rate of development in this country. There is a day in which white Americans will be a minority in America. Now, does that scare you? It shouldn't scare you, because minorities are supposed to have equal rights in America. And that's why it's so important for us to fight for equal rights, because one day our grandkids may not be the majority. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. So there's a lot of talk about Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, getting fired. A lot of stories out there about how the Trump administration is looking for ways to fire him. Now, Donald Trump does not like to do anything that makes it seem as if he's being pressured by the media. And right now, the media is full of stories about Pete Hegseth and how he needs to go. But Trump may not want to do that because he doesn't want to feel like he's responding to the media, because, you know, he hates the media and doesn't want to feel like he's ever influenced by the media. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I think ultimately Pete Hegseth is gone. I just think they're trying to figure out an exit plan, but ultimately they cannot afford to keep him. And there are too many Republicans who agree with me on this. Pete Hegseth has got to go, you know, but look, he is a human being. He's a man. And at some point he's going to have to go home and talk to his wife about this. Hey, here's some good news. The stock market is up almost 890 points. Big turnaround. All right, I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back. This is WWL. Well, on the SOTA Rock Culture calendar, it was on this day in 1978, Steve Martin performed this epic song on Saturday Night Live. And Steve Martin had this funky dance that went along with King Tut. You know, King Tut was a big deal in the 70s. In fact, the King Tut exhibit actually came to the New Orleans Museum of Art, and I remember going to see that. First time I ever saw alabaster. I'd heard the word, but I'd never seen alabaster before. I remember that, seeing that exhibit. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us. Don't forget, in the next hour, I'm going to do it right after the news. I've got the WWL Jazz Fest code word of the day. We've had a bunch of winners. This is for a pair of tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. And all you have to do is take the code word that I'm going to give out right after the news in the next hour. Take that code word, go directly to our website, wwl.com/contest with an S, and register to win. And good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. All right, let's get to a few more of your calls. We still have a lot to get to. You know, I feel sorry for people like Scott Jennings, who is a conservative pundit on CNN, because sometimes he just has to make up stuff. I mean, he can't possibly believe everything that he says. I mean, he can't. He's a smart guy. And the idea that Republicans are being confronted at town halls, that they're not really Republicans, that they're unhinged boomer Democrats. Well, there's no proof of that. And there's no proof that Democrats are going en masse to these town halls. And it is very possible that there are Republicans who are not happy with the way things are going. So it's not that hard to believe. But yet Scott Jennings has to, and others have done it too, make this up. Here's the problem. They can't conceive that there are Republicans that disagree with Donald Trump. So their conclusion is, well, they've got to be unhinged boomer Democrats. They've got to be Democrats. They can't possibly be Republicans, because Republicans wouldn't do that. Trust me, there are a lot of Republicans who are not happy with some of the things that Trump is doing. And Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, who is a chronic booty kisser of Donald Trump and a longtime supporter of Donald Trump, he says, quote, President Trump loves tariffs. He loves tariffs like the devil loves sin. I don't completely understand it, and I think it is this intentional on his part. Where the president is going with tariffs, I don't. He doesn't know where the president is going. John Kennedy knows a lot as a senator, and he doesn't get it, which is a further indication that this whole tariff war thing and the new tariffs that have been placed were not well thought out. They don't exactly know where they're going with it. I mean, maybe they do, but there are smart people like John Kennedy who can't figure it out. So there are Republicans who are not happy with that. And that is believable. It is believable that not every Republican loves Donald Trump. And you don't have to love Donald Trump to be in the Republican Party. And as I've said many times, one of the problems that we have in this country is that people are so unlikely to call out their own that it creates this false sense of popularity. When you really know somebody might be wrong about something, but you're afraid or reluctant to call it out because that's our team, man. We can't say anything negative about our team. Sometimes your team screws up. And if you don't address it, they'll continue to screw up. Let's go to Roscoe. Roscoe, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on.
This is Rocco from the quarter, man.
Okay, Rocco.
Wake up. About some nice things, maybe, baby, like Earth Days and Grand Funk Railroad in City Park when everybody was smiling and happy.
Yeah, and I talked about that earlier. I talked about that extensively.
All the haters got in and killed you.
All right, Rocco, have a nice day, okay? I mean, I'm not gonna argue with that. I mean, it's not even necessary. We don't even need to put that on the air. It's not that you can't disagree with me, but, you know, don't attack me for something that I actually did. You know, we talked about Earth Day earlier. In fact, I have the information right in front of me here, and we're gonna talk about more about Earth Day, especially in the next hour. This is the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. And I love that people like Rocco assume, because he's already got these preconceived ideas about me, he assumes that I haven't talked about Earth Day. And I have. So, Roscoe, better luck next time. Janice, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Scoot. I'm seeing something here online that says, this is what Kennedy had said, I don't believe that President Trump will defy a federal judge's order. If he does, I'll call him out on it, he said. I love the rule of law. I love it like the devil loves sin. And he would call Trump out. But here's the thing with this baby thing. I'd look that up online, and they're even calling it bribery.
What lady is saying what?
No, I said I looked it up online about the babies, having the babies and stuff.
Yeah,
and even, the article I looked at was calling it bribery. Because basically it is. I mean, really,
yeah.
Hey, Scoot, I tell you what, come over to my house tonight. I'll fix you a pot pie, but, you know, I'll pay you $10 to do it. You know, wouldn't that be bribery?
Well, wait a minute.
I mean,
Janice, don't insult me with $10. It's got to be at least $20.
Really? Oh, I'd have to bribe you with
$20.
I'll tell you what, I'll bribe you with $50. No, but here's the thing.
A bonus.
Can you imagine? This world we're living in today is a crazy world, and I'm not down with what he is doing. I can just imagine some woman, oh, man, $5,000. Wow. Ooh, that would go a long way for my drugs. I think I'm going to get pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And then what happens?
You have to deliver.
If somebody did that. Having a baby is a major major responsibility. Even having a dog or a cat or a monkey, for example, it's like it's a major, major responsibility in life, and you just don't do it. You know what I mean? You gotta really think hard about it, and decide whether or not you're up for it, because it's a life.
And Janice, this is a good point, because even if the Trump administration would pay you what it really does cost to raise a child. Aside from the money, there's the emotional commitment that as a parent you have to put into that child.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of things that go into a child, health-wise, educational-wise, everything. Lots of things go into raising a child. It's a major thing. Even the day that I got married, as I stood before the man that was going to be my husband, mm-hmm. As much as I love him, as much as I wanted to be his wife, for about a second, just 1 second, I just had this moment of, you know, I realized the responsibility that I was taking on.
Yeah.
It, getting married, sometimes, you know, get married, I just get divorced, and you're married for a week or whatever, these movie stars, these people, celebrities and stuff. But, I mean, I didn't look at anything like that. I looked at it that I was really taking on a responsibility. I made an oath to him. I made a pledge to him for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, for sickness and health and everything. And I really realized what I was doing. And having a child is the same thing. You're responsible for that baby, or at least you're supposed to be.
No, that's,
many people,
that's right.
You know.
Janice, you bring up a really great point. It's not just about the money. It's about this whole commitment to raise children. Coleman, when did I give you the music list for today's show? I mean, look, sometimes we call audibles and I'll put in a song that's not on the list, but I make a list before the show. I gave this to you just before we were going on the air, right?
Yes.
So you got the music list about a little after 1 o'clock.
Yes.
And before we went on the air.
Right.
So this guy Rocco, who calls up and bashes me for not talking about Earth Day, first of all, he's wrong because we did talk about Earth Day earlier. But coming up right now is a song on the list about Earth Day. And so I was scheduled to talk about this at the beginning of the show at this time, and we talked about it even earlier as well. And I talked about the days of Earth Day when I was with the Rock of New Orleans very early in my career, you know, getting up on stage and introducing bands. And I just thought that was just the coolest thing in the world. We would have concerts at City Park and sometimes have really big bands. I think, you know, Wet Willie, and I don't remember if the Allman Brothers were part of it, but I know Wet Willie and other big bands were part of that at times. But we had big Earth Day celebrations. Earth Day is 55 years old today. And so in those years, as a boomer, boomers celebrated Earth Day, and they celebrated this concept of caring for the planet. Many of those baby boomers have grown up and been brainwashed to think that caring about the planet is some kind of whacked out liberal idea that should not even be entertained. So for people like Rocco, who are quick to criticize, even though we talk about things they say we don't talk about, I found this to be a really cool song, and it's about being aware of the planet. And so in our own way here, we are recognizing Earth Day 2025. That's Miley Cyrus, Wake Up America. And yeah, we've kind of gone to sleep on the whole Earth Day concept, which baby boomers really created 55 years ago today. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1978, disco was still reigning, and the soundtrack from Saturday Night Fever was still number one for a 14th week on the album chart. Number one for a 14th week, and this album had one hit after another. More Than a Woman is among them. I'm Scoot. Let's go to Mary in Mid-City. Mary, thanks for hanging on. Welcome to WWL.
Hello, Scoot. Although I agree with you about 80% of the time, I disagree with you about what baby boomers had facing them.
Okay.
I wish that some of my high school people that I grew up with could be back here and call the baby boomers, but they died in Vietnam. And my cousin came back after two tours in Vietnam, and he was the only one of his platoon that survived. He is anti-Trump because he loves his country. He doesn't change his opinions because of a pocketbook change. He wants this country to be united. Why did he waste his time fighting? There are Peace Corps volunteers who went without toilets and running water. They took baths with leeches. But that was nothing compared to the psychological trauma they went through adjusting to a new culture. I am livid. Not all baby boomers selfish, and there are selfish people in every generation.
Yeah. Mary, you are right. And you were right to call me out on that, because I have been a champion for talking about Vietnam vets and the role that they played in fighting against the spread of communism. And I should have included baby boomers. You know, unfortunately, I kind of bought into the sanitized version of that war. But I've also talked deeply on the show, and nobody else talks about this, about the obligation the United States had to be in Vietnam. There's NATO, the North American Treaty Organization, and then there's CETO, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization. And That treaty bound the United States to protect any ally, and South Vietnam was an ally, against the spread of communism. So, yes, in the Vietnam War, they did indeed fight for our freedom, and I should not have made that mistake, because I'm so good about talking about the contributions that the Vietnam War veterans gave us. And this was a war that we were not allowed to fight with full force. The fear was Russia's backing North Vietnam, South Vietnam supported by the U.S. It's going to bring us into World War III. So we sort of limped in and out of the war and didn't allow our soldiers to do all they could have done. For somebody who has done that so often and talked about that so often over the years, I really should have included the baby boomer generation as a generation that did indeed be part of a war that was part of fighting for our freedom. Because at the time, the fear of communism was a threat to our freedom in this country.
Well, I have a brother who supposedly is a conscientious objector, but he has made his peace with his first cousin, who, I mean, we're lucky he's alive. They have made peace, and it was a bad war that should not have happened. Nevertheless, my cousin went and fought, and he does, I mean, he's fighting right now mentally with what's going on because of all of his buddies who died in the Vietnam War. Mm. Why do we have to put up with a two-bit moron, if you know what I mean? And that's what he calls Trump. And
well, Mary,
he's not going to change.
He, you know, Trump
he's not
is
going to change his opinions because Social Security might be damaged. He's doing it for the love of his country and for even the love of Ukraine. He doesn't know Ukraine, but he's doing it for the world.
Yeah.
And
Mary, I appreciate the call. And it was fair to mention that I didn't include the Vietnam vets, and I should have, because, again, this is something that people don't talk about. But I talk about it quite often on this show here on WWL. I talk about how the Vietnam vets, they did their job as best they could under the circumstances, and they were not allowed to use full U.S. power to defeat the North Vietnamese, because had they been able to do that, it would have been over, and we would have clearly won easily. But because of the fear of World War III, by drawing the Russians into it, who were backing North Vietnam, that didn't happen. I mean, look, there's a lot of complicated issues involved in the Vietnam War. I'm giving you kind of a sanitized summary of what happened. But, you know, it's easy to judge the past based on the world today, but it's not fair to do that. Because at the time of the Vietnam War, there was a serious threat that communism would spread to the United States and would threaten our sense of freedom. So that was a noble goal initially, to try to stop the spread of communism. All right, look, I just want to remind you, and I want you to feel confident, that with all that we're going through with the stock market and with all of the disagreement that goes on today, we are going to get through this. We have survived tough times in the past, and we are going to survive this. I hope one day we look back and laugh at a lot of this. I don't know if we're going to do that, but we are going to survive this. And I have a positive attitude about all that we're going through and how we are going to get through it. And that is a theme on this show. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, today's Tuesday Text Off is related to the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. We'll tell you more about that. We've got an original and a cover, not necessarily in that order, but we have an original and a cover. You decide which is best, song A or song B. Text A or B to the Okunard text line, 504-260-1870. Here is song A. All right, that is song A, and here comes song B. So just text A or B to the Okunard text line, 504-260-1870, depending on which song you think is best. Here's song B. All right, which song was better? One's a cover, one's an original. Song A or song B, which did you like best? Text A or B right now to the Okunard text line, which is 504-260-1870, and we'll have the results coming up. We'll tell you how that also relates to the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. Also, there's a hot new couple in the news, Elizabeth Hurley and Billy Ray Cyrus. I talked about this yesterday. Yuck! I just can't even picture these two people together. There have been some very odd couples. We'll talk a little bit about that coming up in the next hour. I'm Scoot on the Air. It is a cloudy, somewhat rainy Tuesday afternoon, and we're coming right back on WWL. Yeah, some of you are in the rain. I mentioned earlier, if you're in some heavy showers this afternoon, as always, don't use your hazard lights. you're not supposed to, and it's illegal. So if you're driving with the flow of traffic, just do the smart thing. Because when you use your hazard lights, people look at you like you're an idiot. So don't look like an idiot. Kind of, you know, if you are an idiot, hide it by not using your hazard lights. And if the weather is so bad that you have to, you know, put your hazard lights on, then just, you know, get off the road until it passes. Coleman, let that song run for another minute. I'm taking down some notes here on some breaking news that I'm just getting. And this is really, this is monumental. Okay, hang on. I'm just finishing this information. I can't wait to tell you what I'm about to tell you. Just getting this in. Okay. This has got to be a joke. I mean, this has to be a joke. I mean, this comes from Neutral Ground News. So it's a joke, right? Coleman, do you know about Neutral Ground News?
I've heard the name a few times. I think it's like our version of The Onion.
Okay.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm not that familiar with it. I mean, I've heard the name, but this has got to be a joke. I mean, I'm going to read it to you, but it's got to be a joke. So I'm going to assume that it's a joke, because if it's not, it's just too bizarre to even be conceived. So here's what Neutral Ground News is reporting. Mayor Cantrell is flying to Rome to mourn the passing of Pope Francis. A statement was released by the city of New Orleans after Cantrell had already left for Rome. She wants to be by the Pope's side during these trying times. Well, I mean, he's dead. Was she going to be next to the body? She also is entering the running to become the next Pope. With the election for the new pontiff on the horizon, Mayor Cantrell believes that her properly procured and award record of leadership makes her well positioned to guide the Catholic Church into the next chapter. She made history as being the first African-American female mayor of New Orleans. Now she wants to break yet another barrier by becoming the first African-American female to become Pope. Any opponents, any criticism of her becoming Pope should be closely examined as racially motivated undertones.
Seems legit.
Well, I mean, it kind of fits her arrogance. It kind of fits her mentality. But I mean, that's got to be a joke, right? I wouldn't be surprised if she looked for an excuse to use our tax dollars to fly to Rome. I've never been to Rome, but, you know, it's a pretty cool place. And I'm sure she would look for an excuse to go be part of this, even though her behavior does not actually match her self-proclamation that she is a woman that walks in faith. I don't know what faith she walks in, but it's certainly not the faith that I walk in or that many people walk in. But I mean, this has got to be a joke. Right?
Well, everybody waiting with bated breath. Yes, Neutral Ground News is a parody satire.
Okay,
it is our version of The Onion.
All right, but here's what's interesting: the fact that Cantrell is the target of this parody, this satire, this joke. There is a degree of believability that this is her mentality, that she thinks she can do anything and that she is above everything and anything. And so the fact that she was selected to be the target of this humor is a clear indication that she is seen as a certain type of person, very arrogant, self-centered. But really, that's funny stuff. So congratulations to Neutral Ground News. All right, I'm Scoot. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We're going to do the results of the Tuesday text-off. It was on this day in 1978 that the Blues Brothers, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, made their debut on Saturday Night Live, becoming the first characters from the show to get their own movie, the Blues Brothers movie. And the Blues Brothers were born on Saturday Night Live, and they became very popular and went on to do an entire movie. They did a cover of Soul Man, which was a hit, and that was song A. Song B, no, wait a minute. Yeah, did we have that? What was song A, right? Yeah, the Blues Brothers, that was song A, And the original guys who did it, Sam and Dave, that was song B. So here is song B. Play a little bit of this for you. Sam and Dave, the original, came in second to the Blues Brothers, Jake and Elwood. That was their names, right? Jake and Elwood? Jake and Elwood, John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, the Blues Brothers. Song A was the big winner of the Tuesday text-off. It won by one vote. Thanks to all of you for participating in that. I knew this was going to be a close one because the Blues Brothers did a great job with that Sam and Dave cover. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. If you want to join us with a comment about anything we're talking about this afternoon, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. A lot going on. We've talked about Earth Day, and today is the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. This was a day invented by baby boomers, and it was a day that, you know, baby boomers celebrated Earth Day, and we celebrated the ecology. That's what we referred to it as. Taking care of the Earth and the planet and all of that stuff was referred to as the ecology. And we did a lot to try to protect that or bring awareness to the fact that it should be protected. Over the years, it's kind of gone by the wayside. And interestingly, many members of that generation that once were part of the idea of protecting the Earth have been brainwashed into thinking that the whole climate change protecting the Earth thing is nothing but a ridiculous hoax. And I don't believe it is, but this is America. You are free to believe what you want to believe. And, you know, I'm really sorry to hear that Shannon Sharpe, you know, former great player in the NFL, Shannon Sharpe, I like his NFL commentary on ESPN. Shannon Sharpe has been accused of raping a woman. And there's a lawsuit that said that he demanded to be in complete control. The plaintiff is suing under the name of Jane Doe, and she says that Shannon Sharpe, 56, raped her multiple occasions. Now, here's the interesting part. Raped her on multiple occasions over the course of a nearly two-year rocky consensual relationship. This is information obtained by People magazine. The woman alleges that Shannon Sharpe also recorded their sexual encounters without her consent and shared the recordings with others. Like, hey, man, look what I did to her, man. Look at this, man. Hey, come over here. You want to see this? I hope this isn't true, but a lot of athletes that we respect have fallen from grace. A lot of athletes that we respect have lost our respect because of things that they have done. The woman is a resident of Nevada, and she says that she met Shannon Sharpe when she was 22 years old working at a gym in Los Angeles in 2023. So this is recent stuff. She claims that he made multiple advances toward her in subsequent visits to the gym before the complaint, and she says she eventually gave in. She eventually gave in and did it. I have to be careful how I say this, and please understand, I'm not holding this woman accountable. But there's a lesson to be learned here. If you're in a nearly two-year rocky consensual relationship with somebody who is occasionally raping you, you got to get out of that. And while I'm not blaming her, some responsibility must be accepted by people who stay in these situations and allow this to happen to them. Now, again, we don't know if Shannon Sharpe is guilty or not guilty. We don't know. We're just, you know, hearing this information. He says it's not true, of course. But, you know, while I hold the man accountable, because the man has the strength to make this happen if he wants it to happen, the fact that it may have happened over a two-year period is very disturbing. And there should be a message to all women that you should not put yourself in a situation that you're not comfortable in. You know, I remember I was in Denver. I was on the air in Denver and actually did a show when Kobe Bryant appeared in court in Eagle, Colorado. He was rehabbing an injury at this facility in Eagle, Colorado, which I don't know, I think it was about 2 hours west of Denver. And I remember, you know, covering this while I was on the air there. And You know, I felt like Kobe Bryant was railroaded. The woman went to his room and they had sex. And yeah, I don't want to get into too much detail here because a lot of people have picked up their kids from school. But, you know, they did that. And he says, it was consensual. And just the way it was laid out, it seemed like she agreed. But then in the end, she didn't like what she did. And so after the fact, she said it wasn't consensual. I don't remember how much money she got, but she did get a lot of money from Kobe Bryant. And his image was affected by that. So, you know, if you don't know somebody, I don't care how much you're enamored with them, man, you got to be careful. You can't just let yourself be in the presence of somebody alone if you don't trust them. And while I'm not blaming the woman in either situation, I'm saying that, you know, women need to be smart and not be so enamored with a celebrity that they'll do anything the celebrity says, and then afterwards say, well, you know, I don't know, I didn't like that happened that way, or it didn't happen that way, or this is the way it really happened. And, you know, it's sad, but some women are trying to get money. All right, you want to go to Jazz Fest? We've got a chance for you to win some tickets to the second weekend of Jazz Fest. I'm about to give you the WWL Jazz Fest code word of the day. The code word today is gumbo, G-U-M-B-O, gumbo. So go to our website right now. It's wwl.com/contests with an S. And you'll need the word gumbo. If you use another word, it's not going to work. Use the word gumbo to register to win a pair of tickets to go to Jazz Fest second weekend. And Lenny Kravitz and Cage the Elephant and Pearl Jam and Luke Combs and many, many others are going to be performing. It's, you know, it's a great year again this year. So take the word gumbo, go to wwl.com/contest with an S and register to win. And good luck and happy festing from Miller Lite, the official beer of Jazz Fest and WWL. All right, let's go to Coleman. Do we have any? Well, I tell you what, let's take a break and we'll come back. We'll check in with some of your text messages. And if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. So have you seen Machine Gun Kelly? And have you seen Machine Gun Kelly's, the mother of his child, the mother of his new child, Megan Fox? She's an actress. They were seen in public for the first time. Their relationship is kind of on the rocks, and apparently something happened between her getting pregnant and her giving birth, and they apparently have kind of broken up, which is, you know, kind of sad, and I feel badly for the kids that have to suffer through that. But this is a Machine Gun Kelly with Jelly Roll. Song is called Lonely Road. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. So here was a song very much about planet Earth. Mercy, Mercy Me, Marvin Gaye, The Ecology. That's what the song was all about. Today is Earth Day, 55 years old today. Earth Day started 55 years ago, and again, there was a big celebration. It was either the weekend before or the weekend after Earth Day, because I think Earth Day's always been on a Tuesday. But when I was on the Rock of New Orleans years ago, we used to celebrate Earth Day with big concerts at the park, and, you know, I probably sparked a dube on my way there. Not that you should ever do that, but I think I did back then because I didn't know any better. It's kind of stupid, but I had fun. I think people had fun as well. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. Coleman is our studio producer. Ian is off today. We'll get to a couple of text messages, but wait, you just had a phone call? Somebody just hung up on you?
Oh, yeah. Somebody told me to tell you to get your Marxist, communist ass off the air. And then they hung up. I want to come on in. And they were like, boop, and hung up.
Yeah, well, those are callers, cowards. They don't want to come on here and talk about it. Joe in Metairie, I don't know why you would think it's not okay for people to have different opinions. And your opinion of me as a Marxist and a communist reveals your ignorance because you obviously don't know anything about Marxism or communism because there's no way that I'm close to either one of those. So, yeah, I mean, thanks for, you know, being part of that group that uses the First Amendment to display their ignorance. What is it about free speech that you disagree with, Joe? I mean, people can't have a different opinion from yours. Everybody has to agree with you. What about the people who don't like your opinion? Not everybody does. Not everybody likes you. So, I mean, that's kind of life. All right, you got a couple of text messages. We haven't gotten to many of those today.
Yeah, concerning people that's like sort of can't seem to find their ways away from an abusive relationship. Coach Edward says, some abusers mentally, emotionally, financially, and physically manipulate the victim so they can't leave. It's horrific.
You know, I talked about this a couple of days ago on the show. I was at Chipotle, and it's not Chipotle's fault, but I was at Chipotle and getting something, standing in line. Sometimes you stand in line. And I mentioned this. There was a kind of a chubby guy with, you know, geek-looking glasses on, nerdy glasses. And he's standing there with this really cute girl with a really nice petite figure. And it's not that I was staring. It's just that it was obvious. And you would not have put these two people together. And this guy was smacking this girl on the ass right there while he was waiting in line. He'd smack her on one cheek and then smack her on the other cheek. And it was loud. And there were times when he was like kind of, you know, picking it near her breast and, you know, kind of kissing her and then pulling away. She kept trying to tell him to stop, but she didn't. And I positioned myself to where I was up against the wall, right next to her, facing him. And I looked him right in the eye and he stopped doing it. I didn't have to say a word. But it occurred to me that this is one of those guys who doesn't look like he deserves the woman he's with. And he wants to slap her, and he wants to spank her, and he wants to show everybody in the place, this is my woman. And I can only imagine what that guy's like when they're alone. And a lot of people who are inferior have inferiority complexes. They will actually go out of their way to find somebody they can put down. And he may be one of those guys that tries to make this young girl feel like she's a POS, like she's nothing. And she has to have him because nobody else would have her. And sometimes people put down people to break their self-esteem so they have no self-esteem and they don't think they're worth anything. And the fact that this guy loves them makes them want to love them back again. It's just really a sad, sad situation. But I couldn't do anything about it in the long run. But I'm glad at that moment I could just step next to her and look him in the eye. And I didn't have to say a word. And the guy stopped.
All right. Going back to what we were talking about earlier when we began the show with Trump incentivizing people to have families for $5,000. This texter asks, do you get $20,000 if you're delivering quintuplets?
You know, I guess so. I mean, I guess so. You'd get $15,000 if you had triplets. Twins, $10,000.
All right. But this one just says, Scoot, you're missing the point, the entire point of the $5,000 bonus for babies. It's only for married women. The number one problem in our city alone is no fathers.
You know, I know that's, that is a problem. And again, this is another reason why this speaks of dog whistle politics with what the White House is doing in promoting married women having children, giving them $5,000, which of course is not nearly enough to actually realistically have and raise a child, even in the early years. That is a problem. And unfortunately, we have a system that does not reward the man for staying in the life of women. And that needs to change, but I don't know if it ever will.
And, yep, so far, yep, that's about it. Just some more coming.
All right, when we come back here, I want to talk a little bit about this new couple, this hot new celebrity couple, Elizabeth Hurley. She was the woman who played alongside Mike Myers in the Austin Powers movies. Elizabeth Hurley. I mean, she's, you know, a little bit older now, mature. She still has a great body. She is beautiful. And she is with Billy Ray Cyrus. I mean, I see a picture of them kissing and it's I don't get it. But then again, there have always been couples that we don't get. And it's not for me to get. You know, I don't have to get it. If Elizabeth Hurley and Billy Ray Cyrus love each other, well, you know, that's great. I didn't put Gwen Stefani with Blake Shelton, but they seem to be very happy together. So I researched a few celebrity couples that just don't seem like they even belong together. So I'll share that with you when we come back. And also, there is still a lot of talk about the Trump administration, Donald Trump getting rid of Pete Hegseth. You know, now there was apparently a second breach of private information. And apparently he's even admitted to it. And so there are reports now that the Trump administration is trying to find a way to get rid of him. But then Donald Trump says, and then there's another report from the White House and the press secretary, that Trump is standing by Pete Hegseth. So let's do a quick text off here. Do you think Pete Hegseth, as defense secretary, do you think he stays or do you think Trump gets rid of him? I think Trump gets rid of him. So let's do a text off, stays or gone. So if you think he stays, if you think Trump sticks with him and he stays, just text the word stays to the Open Heart text line 504-260-1870. If you think he's gone, text the word gone. So should he stay? Should he go? I think the Trump administration needs to get rid of Pete Hegseth. All right, so text stay if you think he stays. Text gone if you think he's gone. And the Open Heart text line is 504-260-1870. We'll have the results right after this break on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 2010 that Poison lead singer Bret Michaels suffered a brain hemorrhage. You know, he's been through some tough things in his life. That brain hemorrhage almost killed him. He spent almost 2 weeks in intensive care and has made a full recovery. And I've had some fun in my life with Bret Michaels. And the last time we talked, I said, Bret, there are a lot of glam rock bands like yours from the 80s that never made it. Why do you think Poison made it?
First of all, to every band, I say this, as you know, my style from that night and us hanging to now, I'm never a putter downer. I'm always encouraging people. And I think a lot of them, great talent doing stuff. Again, you know, I could say this, times are always changing. The one thing I think for Poison is that there is a passion that comes from my days of playing, not just in the garage. I started in cold Pennsylvania during the winters in the basement, and then when it got warmer, you worked your way up to the garage, and then that passion has never, I can tell you my reason, bet on myself, bet on the band, bet on your friends around you, and just love what you're doing, but also you got to adapt. Doesn't mean you got to change. You don't have to change who you are. You don't have to change your music. You adapt, and I think my love of all styles of music has helped, from loving rock, pop, country. You know, now I'm doing a ton of the big rock festivals, country festivals. I'm doing stuff with Eric Church, Kenny Chesney, Jimmy Buffett. And then also turn around and a day later, I'm doing, you know, the stadium. And then back a day later, jamming with Eric Church at Barefoot Country.
Yeah, I love Bret Michaels. I mean, we had a lot of fun going out one night in the French Quarter, and it was great to reconnect with him last time he was here, and it was a fun conversation. And, you know, I love his positive attitude about everything. All right, let's get the results of the instant text off. So Pete Hegseth, you know, and more controversy unfolding. Trump says, I'm sticking with this guy. I don't think Trump can afford to stay with him. I think he's going to be gone. He's defense secretary. A lot of people in the Pentagon don't like him, and apparently that is a factor. So the text off was the word stay or the word gone. What do you think? Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? And it's kind of close, but most people listening say he's gone. And I totally agree with you. Doesn't matter what Trump says right now. I think Pete Hegseth is gone. I just don't think Trump can afford to keep him around. And, you know, this really goes to this, the irony or the hypocrisy of the whole DEI criticism from the Trump administration. The best person needs to get the job. Well, there were a lot of reasons that made a lot of people believe that Pete Hegseth was not the right person for the job. A number of reasons. So Donald Trump himself has not always hired the right person for the right job. So we'll see what happens with Hegseth. So this new couple, I don't get it. You may not get it. It's up to these two. If Elizabeth Hurley wants to let Billy Ray Cyrus kiss her or whatever, that's her business. But I just don't see those two together. Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. I kind of see them together, but I kind of think that they're sort of a strange couple. Back in 2009, I thought it was weird when Katy Perry was dating Russell Brand. And there had been a lot of questions about Russell Brand's behavior recently. I'm sure that Katy Perry didn't put up with any of that stuff. In 2010, what an odd couple this is. Chelsea Handler was dating 50 Cent. Tiger Woods dated Leanne Rimes. I don't see them together. All right, this always bothered me because I always thought she was really cool. Chad Kroeger, the lead singer of Nickelback, and Avril Lavigne. I never got that. Actually, they got married, but I think they're divorced now. From 2003 to 2005, Lenny Kravitz dated Nicole Kidman. I don't see them together. 1989, Courtney Cox and Michael Keaton. Maybe she has some kind of father issue. She wants to be with somebody older. And then Sarah Jessica Parker dated Robert Downey Jr. I mean, I guess I could kind of see them together, but I don't get the appeal of Sarah Jessica Parker.
Can I add one to the list?
Yeah, go ahead.
One that surprises me, Colin Jost from SNL and Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, you're right. I don't get that. I don't get it. I mean, I think she's a great actress. I think he's really funny on Saturday Night Live, but I don't get them together. I still don't get Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton, but obviously they've just got a great life together. And it just goes to prove that we judge people based on the fact of whether or not we think they should be together. And yet it's up to them. And we don't know what's going on in their minds. We don't know what drives them. I mean, it's really hard to define love. It's a difficult thing to define love. And so when you see some of these couples and hear about some of these couples, you go, I don't get it. I mean, but, you know, love is love and love conquers. All right. We're going to come back to wrap up the show here in just a few minutes. I'm going to post a video on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page and Scoot on the Air Instagram. And we'll do that right after the show. So we're continuing to remember that today is Earth Day. It is a day to pay attention to all the things that we as humans can do to make the world a better place, to make the world sustainable, doing little things. And I know you might think, oh, that's just a little thing. But if everybody does a little thing, it all adds up. And I just wish the whole concept of taking care of this planet had not become so political. And the generation that is now the establishment gave birth to Earth Day 55 years ago today. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Yeah, there is a rain around the area. If you're in it, drive carefully. And we've got another good chance of rain tomorrow, Wednesday. And then it's really important for Thursday because that's the beginning of Zurich Classic and the beginning of Jazz Fest. So we'll know more about that forecast tomorrow. Sports Talk with Mike Dettillier, Steve Geller coming up next. Mike D's got his final 2025 mock draft. It hits WWL.com today. And remember, the Jazz Fest code word of the day today is gumbo. Take gumbo and go to the website wwl.com/contest with an S and register to win. And good luck from Miller Lite and WWL. A legendary CBS executive, Bill Owens, is leaving 60 Minutes. And he says he's leaving because, quote, he's losing his journalistic independence. There's a big issue in this country about freedom of press since Trump took office. A big conversation going on about journalistic freedom. So we'll spend a little time talking about that on the show tomorrow. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, our studio producer today, Coleman, news anchor Chris Miller, Traffic with Courtney P. And as always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. Listen for another code word coming up for the Jazz Fest tickets coming up in the 6 o'clock hour on Sports Talk. I'm Scoot. Again, if you're in the rain, drive carefully. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.